You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hi, welcome to Pretty Much Done. I'm Julia Mazur. Today's episode, I'm joined by Astro by Diana to discuss Saturn Returns. I felt extremely compelled to record this episode because I just ended my 2.5 year Saturn return. We break down what a Saturn return is, when you should expect it, how to kind of make it a little bit of a smoother ride. And then after I record with Diana, I go in and talk about my Saturn return and the process of how I knew I was finally out of it. And I am so excited for you to hear. I get super vulnerable on this one again, and all of your thoughts and comments would be so greatly appreciated. So let me know what you think after the episode. Here's the episode. Cool. Well, hi, guys. I'm so excited to record this episode. I've become an astrology gal and I have learned all about Saturn returns. I saw an astrologer myself and I think I'm finally out of my Saturn return. So I brought an expert on. I brought Astrology by Diana on, and she is going to talk us through what a Saturn return is, first and foremost, and then she's going to either confirm or deny whether I'm out of my Saturn return so that we have all the data. So Diana, I'm so excited to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here to talk about Saturn returns.
Yeah, so diving right in, I feel like whenever I tell anyone I'm out of my Saturn return, or I'm in my Saturn return, or I think you're in your Saturn return, everyone's like, what is that? And what I tell people is I'm like, oh, you just have to figure it out and then the next 10 years are going to be good. So you tell me a better definition of that because I need to improve upon my definition.
Sure. So a Saturn return technically is when transiting Saturn in the sky literally returns to the exact place it was at when you were born. And it takes about 29 and a half years for Saturn to make a full cycle and travel through the zodiac. So that's why we go through our Saturn returns first at the ages between 27 and 30, then between, I would say, 57 to 60, and then in our late 80s if we are lucky enough to live that long, and so forth and so forth. And Saturn in astrology, the way you can think of Saturn is like a strict fatherly figure. Saturn is the planet that represents responsibility. It's the planet of boundaries, as well as the planet of time and karma. So Saturn gives us the tough lessons in life that we need to learn in order to grow up and take accountability for our lives. It's like a strong reality check for us.
Wow. So wild that you have it again at 57, 58. So yes. This whole thing has to happen over again.
I know. The good thing about Saturn is it puts us back on track, onto the path that will bring us into our most evolved and highest self if we, actually learn the lessons that we need to learn.
Right. Then that leads me to my next question of like, how do you handle it when it's happening? And like, tell me about handling while it's happening, because I was told I was in mine and I could definitely feel confused and lost. And mine was like 2.5 years. It was like to the day. It's so crazy. But tell me like what you can do to handle it, or how do you navigate it while it's happening? What's the best practice there?
So I think, first of all, awareness is key. When you're aware of what Saturn is and the energy that it's going to bring into your life, then you can start to kind of plan to the next phase of your life that you're going into. During your first Saturn return, this is your coming of age into adulthood. It is finally taking responsibility for who you want to show up in the world as an adult that isn't connected to your family, to your parents, and where you came from. So I think the best way to approach Saturn is look back at your life, the choices that you made, the decisions that you made that have brought you to where you are in life right now, and look towards your future. How do you want your future to look? How do you want your future to look like? What's the type of person that you want to be? Who do you want to be as an adult? Start to plan that out a little bit. And when you do plan that out and think back at perhaps past choices that you've made that you kind of regret, think of, what did that teach you? What were the lessons that you learned because of those choices that you made? And how can you use those lessons towards a better future for yourself?
Cool. Those are all helpful things to do. So is this time where you find your purpose in your career, or is it just like your purpose overall, like how you want to show up as a partner, if you want to be partnered, or like in your career, like what is the really main focus of it?
I think it really depends on where it's happening in your chart, which house that Saturn is transiting through. If it is transiting through a house that has to do with your career and to do with how you make a living, then yes, those are going to be really big themes for you. But some people have their Saturn transiting through the house of their relationships. So that's why we tend to see a lot of people get married during their Saturn return, start to have really committed relationships in their life. It really depends on how it affects you, but I would say a lot of the times, because we're stepping into our adulthood, career is always going to be a big theme for that. Yeah. And how we make a living for ourselves.
Yeah, I know that when we go through my chart, mine was definitely, I don't even need confirmation, but mine was definitely rooted in my career for sure. You can tell me later.
Absolutely.
And then my other question was, so whenever someone turns like 27, is it like you are 27 to 29 and a half? Like, I feel like people who are 27 or whatever are going to listen to this and be like, shit, it's coming. Like, is this without a doubt, it's going to be 2.5 years. It's going to happen at 27 for everyone?
It really depends on the degree your Saturn is in, because a lot of the times, our exact Saturn return depends on the degree. So for you, for example, your Saturn is at 25 degrees. So your Saturn return was exact, let me see the dates I wrote down. It was exact January 25th of this year to February 1st. And that's when Saturn's energy is the most prominent and intense. However, our Saturn return is a phase. So when Saturn enters the sign that it is in our natal chart, it will stay in that same sign for about 3 years, 2.5 to 3 years. And during that entire phase, we will feel the effects of our Saturn return.
Got it. So are you saying that my Saturn return was in Virgo the whole time?
No, your Saturn return is in Aquarius. You have Saturn in Aquarius in your natal chart. Oh, okay. And since it's at 25 degrees, Saturn in the sky was at 25 degrees between the dates of January 25th and February 1st. So that's when the energy was like really intense.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And can you describe what intense energy means? I mean, I'm going to go on to talk about what mine felt like, but what could it feel like if someone is like, did I end my Saturn return? Like, what does that feel like?
I would say it's like a pressure buildup. Like when Saturn enters the sign that it is in our natal chart, it's kind of like, okay, I'm getting a taste of this energy. I feel Saturn's kind of looming fatherly energy coming down on me to take a little bit more responsibility for the choices I make in my life. When it's exact is when life events are more prominent. So like things happen in our life a lot bigger when it's at the exact degree. The energy shows up in a lot more obvious ways, I would say.
Like you're at work and you realize maybe I don't want to be doing this job. So like you feel okay.
Exactly, exactly. That's when our Saturn return is at its exact degree, is when we tend to make big life choices and changes in our life. Because that energy is just like pressuring us to make a big change in our life where we need to make a big change.
Yeah, it's funny. I've become spiritual. And so for me, I kept telling people who were around me that I had a rock in my chest.
Oh.
Yeah. And once I released everything, the rock was completely gone. Whenever I speak about the rock, it comes back. So here it is. It's just reminding me. It's keeping me on track. It's my reference point. But that's Saturn, how it felt.
Like a rock too. Like, I love that metaphor.
Saturn. Yeah. My friends and I, we like constantly send each other memes about what a bitch Saturn is. And
such a bitch. Oh my God.
She's such a bitch. And I, like, they were laughing because I had like a 29th birthday dinner and I was in a relationship and I had a new job and I launched my podcast and they were like, oh my God, Julia's Saturn return hasn't hit at all. Like, cut to 2 months later, broke up with my boyfriend.
Oh my God.
Completely confused. Like, and they were like, oh, just kidding. Sorry, we jinxed her.
Yeah, there you go. That's like such a perfect example of when Saturn is exact. Oh my God. Just everything turns into chaos.
She's honestly like Beetlejuice. Like, if you say her name, she goes.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, Diana, let's dive in. Take me through a little bit of my Saturn return and let me have it. And I'll confirm the things that happened to me so you can know, but I'm obviously going to dive deeper on the episode.
Awesome. Yeah. So you have Saturn in your ninth house. So that's the area of life that Saturn was transiting through. And the ninth house is the house of long distance travel. It's a house of philosophy, higher education, publishing, religion, learning about different cultures. So when your Saturn return is transiting through your ninth house, you're pursuing knowledge in any way or changing your philosophy or belief systems in your life. It has so much to do with finding the truth, finding the bigger meaning in your life, and really understanding what it is that your purpose is in this lifetime. So a lot of the times that does have to do with your career, like you said. How do I want to make a mark in this world? How do I want to use my belief systems and my philosophies that I've accumulated over my years and turning that into something I can utilize in this world and help share that information and that wisdom that you've accumulated with everyone in a way that serves other people?
Makes total sense. I spent 10 years dating and learning about dating and relationships, and now I host a dating and relationships podcast, constantly curating content related to that. So that aligns. I became more spiritual during this time and I've really embraced spirituality. So
yes,
that all tracks. How do you know that I'm out of it? And does it feel like a cataclysmic event when you get out of it? Because cut to, and I will talk about this more, but like, I called my mom and I sobbed. My mom came over and I was like sobbing and I was just like, I don't know how to control my life right now. Like, and she just didn't know what to do. We both didn't know what to do. And then I released a bunch of stuff to her and I was fine.
Good. Oh my God. Yeah. When we come into adulthood, I feel like we just like need our mommies, you know, we need, we're like, oh my God, wait, I still need that parental figure to tell me what to do.
Yeah, totally. I've become such a, I need my mommy girl.
Totally. Totally. Remind me of the question that you asked again.
The question was, does it always feel cataclysmic once it's over? Like, how bad does it get in order to be over? And how do you know it's over?
So you know that your Saturn return is over when transiting Saturn in the sky moves into the next zodiac sign. So for all of us that had Saturn in Aquarius, we are officially done with our Saturn return once Saturn moved into Pisces, which was March 7th of this year. Mm. So we are done. However, the effects of Saturn definitely trickle on even after Saturn moves into a different zodiac sign, especially if you have your Saturn at a later degree. So for you, you have Saturn at 25 degrees, and that's a later degree of Saturn. So you will be feeling the effects of your Saturn return even now, since Saturn has entered Pisces. And I would say for a little bit afterwards, because, you know, the choices that we make during our Saturn return are going to affect us through our adulthood. And the interesting thing about Saturn is that we get hit with a Saturn aspect, a hard aspect, every 7 years in our life. So if you ever heard of that 7-year itch,
yeah,
very Saturn. Every 7 years, Saturn reminds us, like, are you on the right path? Are you learning the lessons you need to learn? Are you taking accountability for the choices that you make? And so that energy is definitely always there to keep us on the right track.
Is there a way to track that? Like, it's just like, you know how people, when they're pregnant, they have like a baby calendar of like when they're due. Like, is there like an app or something for people to use to see where their Saturn's at and kind of control it?
Yeah. So what I recommend for people that aren't professional astrologers is, I love the Chani app personally. The Chani app is amazing. Chani Nicholas is like a queen. Technically, in order to track Saturn, what we use as astrologers is something called an ephemeris. And it's just basically shows us where all the planets are, the degrees and the signs that the planets are in. So that is something that you can utilize if you want to learn how to read that to really keep track of Saturn. But I think the Chani app is awesome. There's also a lot of amazing astrology apps out there that will tell you when Saturn is hitting your natal chart and is creating an aspect to one of your personal planets or other planets in your chart.
Got it. And then going back to my chart, just since I have you here, anything else that you're seeing that I should be doing, or I don't know, like I feel like very clear on my purpose now that I want to help people with dating and relationships.
Amazing.
And I just know that like I'm full steam ahead there. And that's how I felt I was out of it, because I just like felt so unbelievably clear about that. But is there anything else that I need to know? Anything pertaining to my love life? I'm always interested in that.
Ooh, let me pull up your transit chart to see what's going on for you. Okay. So one of the biggest transits of 2023 is Pluto, which is a generational planet. It stays in the same zodiac sign for about 15 to 20 years or longer as time goes on, is moving into Aquarius this year.
Aquarius is really busy for me.
I know there's been a lot of activity in Aquarius. I feel for my Aquarians out there.
Crazy.
So I've been looking at where Pluto is going to be transiting for people in their natal charts, because that's going to be a big house of transformation. So let's see. For you, Pluto in Aquarius will be transiting the same house that Saturn was transiting, which is the ninth house. So Pluto is the planet of death and rebirth and transformation. So whenever Pluto is transiting through a certain house, we undergo a huge transformation in regards to that house. So you can kind of think back again to the themes of your Saturn return of that ninth house of spirituality, philosophy. And with Pluto being in your ninth house, Saturn moving into Pisces will move into your 10th house of career and vocation and your public reputation. So Saturn there is going to be asking you to really implement a good structure for your career in order to move forward with that. And Pluto in your ninth house of philosophy and spirituality and publishing, there's just probably going to undergo a ton of transformation in regards to that. Really getting serious about your spiritual practices and how your spiritual practices fit into your career, and using that in order to help others, especially with it being in Pisces. Saturn being in Pisces, because Pisces is all about compassion and empathy and serving others in a way that is very healing. So those two big planets affecting those houses for you is definitely going to be huge for your purpose in this life. That's for sure.
Makes total sense. And I kind of have been starting to incorporate the spirituality. I think that you can manifest anything that you want, including a partner. So
definitely. That
makes total sense. So you're saying no love for me yet again.
Well, what I'm looking at, actually, let me see. So when I look at love, I look at the seventh house, because that's the house of our one-on-one relationships.
Okay.
And when it comes to love, you have your seventh house in the sign of Sagittarius. So right now, there isn't a lot of activity since there's not really any planets right now in Sagittarius going on. However, yeah. That does not mean at all that there's not going to be like activity in your love life.
I can confirm there's no activity in my love life, Diana.
Oh my gosh. But it's good that you're focusing on your career. But yeah. What we can look at is Sagittarius's ruler, which is Jupiter. And Jupiter right now is in Aries. And we will have eclipses this year in the Aries Libra axis. So your seventh house ruler will actually be getting hit by an eclipse where the north node, which is the north node, is a point that represents our destiny in this life. Mm-hmm. It's going to hit that seventh house ruler, and maybe perhaps a big event's going to happen. You'll meet the love of your life. Who knows? But that is something I'm seeing for your love life.
Cool. And then the last thing before I let you go is I see an astrologer sometimes, and he told me that I need to be with a Capricorn who's working on himself.
Oh.
Can you confirm or deny? I have never dated a Capricorn, but he said that to me once, and now I'm stuck on it.
Interesting. Well, let me see. I mean, you are a Virgo sun, Gemini rising, and a Virgo moon. I mean, a Capricorn would be amazing for you. Earth signs together, power couple. I also think Virgos with Tauruses make an amazing duo personally. But when it comes to compatibility, I always look to the moon sign personally and the Venus sign. Mm-hmm. And so you have Venus in Leo and Virgo moon. So I would say any of the earth signs, Taurus, Capricorn, Virgo, if you want to date someone similar to you.
Never again. No, I've done it twice. I'm never doing
it. Oh my God. Okay. You're done with Virgos.
Yeah.
As well as water signs are a great fit for you. So that's Pisces, Scorpio, Cancer. When it comes to your Leo Venus, perhaps finding someone that has Leo in their chart can be really exciting and passionate for you. Or finding someone that has fire in their chart. So that would be Aries, Leo, Sagittarius. Since your seventh house is Sagittarius, I think maybe finding someone with a Sagittarius placement in their birth chart can also be great for you, as well as someone with Libra placements, because Libra rules over your fifth house of dating and romance.
Got it. Okay. I love all of this.
A lot of options. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a lot of options, but no activity. Love that. Okay. Diana, I'm going to let you go so that I can go divulge all the things that happened to me in my Saturn return. I'm so happy you were on, and I'm so happy to hear that I'm no longer in my Saturn return. Tell everyone where they can find you to do a reading with you, because this was amazing and it was only 20 minutes. I want to do more, but we'll do it offline.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. You can find me right now on Instagram. My Instagram is Astro by Diana. I'm in the process of making a website. It's just a very long process, but that's where you can find me. You can always message me, and my email is on Instagram as well, astrologybydiana@gmail.com.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hi guys, it's just us now. I had to tell you, when I got out of my Saturn return, I have never felt clearer. And It was so funny when I got out of it. I was scrolling on Instagram and I see this like astrology thing hit my explore page. And it's like, if you were born in 1993, you've been in your Saturn return since March 14, 2020, and now you're out. And I was like, of course, my Saturn return would hit the same day that like a global pandemic was announced. It was the wildest thing. So I felt super compelled to record this episode about Saturn returns. If you were born in 93 and you went through one, I feel you, I see you. And if you're coming up on yours, I feel you, I see you. If you're any of my parents' friends who are turning 57 or 58 soon, I feel you, I see you. This is not easy, but I felt like if I would share what happened to me during my Saturn return, it could possibly help someone feel less alone. And that's what this podcast is about, right? So in the pandemic, I've mentioned this before, but I got into a super toxic relationship. It was the good on paper guy. We met. I had listened to a podcast he was on. I DM'd him and we started messaging, and then the world shut down and we started hanging out. And very soon thereafter, I was constantly at his house and he invited me to live with him because there were like the protests going on around where I lived. And he was like, you know, you're here all the time anyway. Why don't you just come live here? And I was so confused and so anxious throughout this relationship. But if you've listened to this podcast, you know that for so long, my goal was to get married and to find my person. And I thought, once that happens, I will completely feel whole and complete. And if you've seen my journey and you've listened to this podcast, you know that that's absolutely not true, and that another person cannot make you whole, and only you can make yourself whole. We know that now. So got into this relationship, constantly wanted to get out of it, had family members or friends advising me that relationships are hard and I should stick it out, and this person really loves me a lot and is showing a lot of effort. And I tell everyone the origin story of this podcast is that during this time, it was COVID, obviously, I would take long walks and I started listening to podcasts. And I was listening to Mariana Hewitt's podcast, Life with Mariana Hewitt. I love that podcast. I love her. And she had Jen Atkin on. And Jen Atkin was saying that she tells all her friends that a breakup is just one weekend of moving your shit out and that's it. And I had that aha moment and I realized that I hope that I'll heed this advice because I just want to move out and I want to move my life along. And I ended up heeding that advice. It took more fighting, didn't happen overnight. And we broke up. And after we broke up, I moved back home and it was like my life renewed. I found this group of friends that I started to go out with. I looked really good. I swear it was like the sunniest summer. I was constantly outside, tanning, by the beach. I had single girlfriends and we were like going out all the time and having so much fun. And I felt this renewed sense of self that I hadn't felt in a really long time in that relationship. And then cut to, I got COVID probably from going out too much. And I matched with this person on Hinge and that ended up being my boyfriend. And I had COVID, he had a trip, and we spent 3 weeks FaceTiming and calling each other and getting to know each other the real old-fashioned way and essentially falling in love. And my ex-boyfriend was an extremely spiritual, healed, loved therapy, had done the work on himself person, was also Jewish, which really mattered to me at the time, because I had been in a relationship where the person wasn't Jewish and it felt like we were culturally polar opposites. And it almost felt like this person felt like home to me. It felt like I could have a partner that felt really safe and really like a warm hug. I think I've said it on other podcast episodes. And through this relationship, I was able to really hunker down and do therapy and do work on myself and grow. And for that, I'll be eternally grateful for this relationship. And it's why so much of the time I talk about how I don't hate any of my exes really, because I thank them for all the things that they've taught me. And I now, because I'm spiritual, I know that I was meant to go through all of these relationships to be able to get to the point that I'm at today. And I have a lot of peace with them all. Not necessarily with the people I was in relationships with. Some of them hate me, but peace with the fact that I was in love with these people or gave it a try and put myself out there. And so in the previous relationship I was in, I've obviously talked a lot about how I've done therapy and I've done plant medicine, which I never would have done if I wasn't in this relationship and didn't feel safe enough to ask this person about plant medicine and really explore that side of myself, which allowed me to release a lot of shame and insecurity I felt around being overweight growing up. And it was through seeing my shadow self that I was able to finally get to a place where I loved myself. And it's like I started to undo all of the truths, like Diana said, that I had about myself, that I wasn't pretty or that I, you know, wasn't skinny enough to be loved. And the only way to be loved is to like use your sexuality and you need to win over a man and be all these things that I wasn't. And in terms of my career in my previous relationship, you know, I'm very vocal about the fact that I worked at Tinder for 6 years. It was an amazing, incredible experience. But I started to get to a place with that role where I felt like I, you know, outgrew it and wanted to move on to a different company, and very vocal with the fact that I work at Spotify now and I love what I do and I love the people that I meet and I love podcasting, obviously, and I love the power that it has. And I love to work for a company that is mission driven, and I think Spotify is. And so I took that role. I got reached out to through a recruiter and I took the role at Spotify, and I'm so grateful that I did. I also felt a sense of longing for another way to connect with people and fuel my purpose. And I wasn't really fully certain on it, but I knew that there was a lot to my story with dating for 10 years, my story with my self-hatred and shame with being overweight. And I felt really compelled once I got to Spotify to do that and to explore it further. And what I ended up doing was launching Pretty Much Done. And thankfully, I had a friend whose sister, shout out Jenny, who helped me launch Pretty Much Done. I found a female-founded studio where I had amazing support at the studio, and I met some amazing people who helped me understand what launching a podcast entails. And I'm so grateful for that experience. And throughout that all, I felt good, but I still felt confused. And I realized that I was still on the Saturn return. It was still happening. And obviously, if you've listened to my breakup episode, you know that in October of 2022, I broke up with my partner because I really felt like if this was it, like if this was the person for the rest of my life, I don't think that this was enough for me. And I also felt that way about needing to connect with people about love and relationships. I now know, because I'm out of it, that I needed to go through the whole healing process that I did go through in order to feel so clear on the message that I want to help people with through this podcast. So cut to me breaking up with my ex-boyfriend, doing the work in therapy. And this was a really pivotal moment for me. My best friend was in town, and her and some friends were at drinks. And I was going to see a guy that I was hanging out with, nothing that serious. I was going to hang out with him that night after drinks. And my best friend goes, you know, I think for you, love's only going to happen once you learn how to be alone. And I was like, no, but I am alone. Like, trust me, I know how to be alone. Like, you know, I've been single before and just, I know how to be alone. And she's like, no, really alone. And there is something to be said about being single, and it's a different thing from being alone. I don't even recognize the girl who chooses to read on a Friday night versus going out to meet prospective new partners. I actively choose to have girls' trips, girls' days, instead of going out to meet new conquests and get male validation from a guy at a bar. And if you know me, you know, if you are my friend, you know that I have taken you by the hand at bars to do laps at bars because you never know who you're going to meet. Or one of my best friends, I told her, we need to be hanging out with other single girls. We can't be hanging out with like our gay friends because, you know, we're not going to meet guys at the gay bars. We have to go put ourselves out there at the straight bars and we got to go meet people. That is not going to make you happy. Sure. Do we want to meet people and put ourselves out there? Absolutely. But if you have fun with your friends at the gay bars, go to the gay bars. If you have fun reading on a Friday night by yourself, read by yourself on a Friday night. The truth is the only way that you're really going to be happy is if you learn the things that make you happy. And I now know the things that are making me happy. Every now and then, do I like going to the bars? Yeah, sure. But is it going to break my heart if someone doesn't talk to me there? No, I'd rather talk to my friends who are the funniest people I know anyway. So I got on that journey of learning how to be alone, and I did another plant medicine journey. Update, I did another plant medicine journey because of course I did. And I was kind of resistant to the second time, but my therapist nudged me along the way and thought it would be beneficial for me to do it. And so I went with the intention of learning how to be alone. When we went around the circle before we all took the medicine, I said, this year I'm really learning how to be alone with myself. And on this plant medicine journey, I had an epiphany that there were times in my life that, you know, if my parents would argue, it made me feel extremely scared. I thought, you know, I think all kids can relate to feeling like when your parents argue, either you're at fault for something or you're afraid of the foundation of their marriage, or you just start to internalize these things that have nothing to do with you but have so much to do with you. And at the time, I was dating my high school boyfriend, and I remember leaning so heavily on my high school boyfriend. And I had this epiphany, and I realized that I've always put a man between my family and myself in order to protect myself. And so much of the work that I've been doing with the plant medicine and with therapy and just everything that I've been trying to work on is realizing that I built such a tough exterior as a trauma response to survive. I developed sarcasm as a way to deflect from my weight. I was bitchy to my parents or my sister because I was afraid of them doing something to hurt me. And it wasn't until recently that I learned to put my walls down and get really vulnerable with them. And after I did that plant medicine journey, I came to my parents' house to tell my mom, and her and I cried together. And I don't know the last time that I was that open and vulnerable with my mom. And so I know my mom listens to every episode. So if you're listening to this, like, I love you so much. And I so appreciate everything that you do for me. Ugh, not me crying on the podcast. So I do this plant medicine journey and I feel very clear. And then it's so crazy because my ex-boyfriend and I, we used to see this, like, we still see her, not together, obviously, but she's an at-home masseuse and she's also an energy healer. And she texts me and she's like, I had this vision of you crying. I know you're sad. And I'm like, I need to call her back and I need to tell her that I'm not sad at all. That she probably had the vision of me crying on the, you know, plant medicine journey, but I'm all good now, all good. I call her and I'm like, hey, Vicky, don't worry about me. I'm totally fine, totally good. She tells me she knows I'm sad. I'm like, no, I'm totally happy. All good. Okay. I realize that after I get off the phone with her, I feel this, like, it feels like a rock is just sitting on my chest. Like if you put a 10-pound rock on my chest, that's what it felt like. And every day I was just going through the motions of my days and trying to figure it out, but just going through the days because you know, that's who I am. I'm ambitious. And I just, you know, I was working, recording podcast episodes, seeing friends. It felt like an outer body experience, if I'm honest. It felt like I was moving forward, but not actually in my body, if that makes sense. So I'm pretty good at showing up for social situations, for work. You know, I have a good work ethic, and I still just felt this rock in my chest. And so I go to therapy and I finally decide I'm going to tell my therapist. I think I went to one session and didn't tell her, and then I go to another and I tell her. And she's like, it almost feels like you opened your heart a little on the journey, and that cement that's been blocking your heart is like released a little, but it's still kind of, it's like getting unstuck. And I'm like, oh shit, okay, I don't know. And she also said something to me that it must have been really hard for you when your parents were fighting and you were also overweight. And it's really crazy because after my plant medicine journey, my great aunt had transferred over all of our old like VHS tapes to digital. And after the plant medicine journey, there are all these baby videos. And then there's this one random video of me at 16 or 17, the same person I saw, the shadow self I saw on my first journey. And I'm like, holy shit, that's really weird. I wonder what that means, but okay. And I watched it and I cried, obviously watching it, because I cry at the drop of a hat now. And I went to see friends and I was telling everyone about this rock. I saw one sweet friend and he told me that as I spoke to him about the rock in my chest, he felt like he was taking it on, which was so sweet. And listen, if I was listening to this 2 years ago, I'd be like, who even is this girl? What is she saying? Rock, spirit, like taking on energies, like spirituality, blah, blah, blah. What are you talking about? But I just totally believe in this stuff now. And it's impossible not to, because once you get so in tune with it and open yourself up and are able to be vulnerable and believe, it just makes complete sense. And I don't believe that anything is a coincidence now. So if at the end of my Saturn return, I didn't know it was the end, but if towards the end of it, I felt this crazy feeling in my heart, I'm not kidding. I tried to forget about it, but I would wake up in the morning and I'm like, there it is again. It won't go away. And I would cry to release it. I would try and journal. I would go to therapy. Nothing is getting rid of it. So I'm on this journey of trying to get rid of it, and I'm not getting better. I'm just going through the motions. And I'm scared to tell my mom because I don't want her to worry. And I wake up one morning and I'm just like, I don't know what to do. And I wake up with a feeling, and this is so sad to say, and I never want to block my vulnerability on this podcast, but I wake up with the feeling of like, what is even the point of life? It's like I move forward, I do all these things, and I just still feel stuck. And I was just exhausted and sad, and I didn't know what to do or who to turn to. And so I text my mom and I'm like, Mom, can you come over? And she gets immediately worried. She's like, are you okay? And I'm like, no, I'm not okay. And she comes over immediately, like any Jewish mom would. And I'm so grateful to her. And she comes over and I just tell her, like, I think I have issues. And there were some things that came up for me about when I was growing up. And I think there were things that I was still holding on to from my childhood that I wasn't able to release. And I was finally able to release them with her. And her and my sister, you know, called me and stayed on the phone with me and we cried. And I realized that I was holding on to these things from when I didn't love myself, feeling unloved by my family or my parents, especially probably my dad. I think that so much of me when I was younger wanted so badly to gain so much validation from my dad. You know, if you know me, you know that I love basketball, I love comedy, I love, you know, sarcasm, a big like Bill Maher fan. My dad's like a Politico. I'm book smarts like he was. I wanted to be a lawyer like he studied to be. And it felt like, I hope you can relate if you're listening, but I felt like nothing I ever did was good enough. for my dad. And I think at the time, he just didn't have the tools to make me feel validated. And I think it was his way of showing love. I understand generational trauma, and I understand that the way that you grew up is the way that you're going to kind of pass that on to your kids. And I think that he kind of played the bad cop sometimes. And that was really tough for me. And at the same time, I realized that I was 208 pounds and I hated myself. And it almost felt like this man who I treated as like my boyfriend, my dad in this weird way, didn't love me and I didn't love me. And I spent so much time looking for a man to love me and fill that void. And in that moment of realization and clarity and crying with my mom and my sister on the phone, I just decided I'm going to release it because it just wasn't serving me anymore and it's not serving me. And so if you're listening and you have any of those moments from your childhood that you're holding on to and you're grasping on to and you've developed this hardened shell because of, let it go. Let it go, because one day it's going to manifest itself into a rock in your chest. And trust me, that shit fucking hurts. So I release it. And that evening, I made plans to see Amy Nobile, who I interviewed on this podcast. She was in town. She was staying by the beach. I made plans to see her and hang out in person. And literally around like 5:30 p.m., we're sitting there by the water watching the most beautiful sunset I've seen in a long time. And I had dinner with one of my best friends who was in town after that. And I just had this moment of realization, like, how fucking crazy that you can wake up thinking, what the fuck is the point of life? I'm so tired of living every day only to feel defeated, to finishing my evening with some amazing people, watching the sunset by the beach, having dinner and laughing with my girlfriends. And I just felt like, huh, I think the universe had this all planned. I had to go through all this shit to feel so clear on my purpose. And I also, Amy spoke at Soho House and she did this talk on manifestation. And she mentioned how she recently blocked an ex for a client because she realized that the ex was getting in the client's way. And I had this moment and I was like, I'm still holding on to the relationship that I was in. I lean on that person for support more than I should. I'm going to block them. And as soon as I did that, I just got so clear on my purpose that this is what I want to help you all with, anyone with, is just how you can move forward in your life and how we get into our own way sometimes by limiting ourselves. And we just need to keep moving forward. And you can have anything that you want as long as you are moving forward and growing. And all the limitations that you believe about yourself, they're self-inflicted. The universe is ready to give you everything you want. Once you finally get to the point that you believe you can have all those things in the future. So if you are listening to this and you are in a kind of meh relationship at a kind of whatever job, living in a whatever city, feeling like your friends are eh, you can have all the things that you want. I promise you without a doubt. And if my Saturn return can teach you anything, it is that life is so beautiful when you allow it to be. So, in closing, if you're about to embark on your Saturn return, it might be a bumpy ride, but I promise that the other side of it is so rewarding and so fulfilling. And I hope you guys see a change in the content that I'm putting out, because I just want to be there for all of you. And as always, I love you all and I believe in you. And I just think it's time for you to believe in you too. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Pretty Much Done. If you want more information about this episode, you can check our show notes. Go like, subscribe, and leave a review because it helps us grow the pod. Love you. Thank you. Sorry, did I just love bomb you? I'm not toxic. You are. Okay, bye.